This is Bill Tiller of Tiller.org. You're listening to BBSRadio.com. Don't forget to tune in to The Infinite Consciousness with Eva Herr every Sunday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Enjoy.
Or what, but anyway, Joe S. is actually going to interview me about what I think and what my belief systems are about consciousness and manifestation and the power of intent, and fill in the gaps since Ernest can't be with us. Thanks for being with us tonight, Joyce.
My pleasure. It's going to be an interesting show.
It'll be different, won't it?
That's right.
Never interviewed my own self on my own show.
Well, it's time then, because we need to know who you are.
So, I don't know where to start. You have to interview me then, I guess.
Okay. Well,
I kind of want to talk about how thought creates reality.
Okay,
how
that
illness...
was my first question. How does thought create reality?
I've actually spent a lot of time thinking about that, Joyce, and talking to people like Bill Tiller and Dean Radin and yourself and other people, and actually channeling my own self, you know, and spend a great deal of time trying to figure that out. And I think what happens is, you know, the original intention went out on the sound of silence, you know, when there was nothing at all, you know, when the great bang, big bang started, there was nothing. And an intention went out, and it started, you know, we have infinite numbers of horizontal and vertical frequency lines. And I was telling somebody today, the way you picture that is imagine a record album and how close the lines are together and how they stack up on top of each other. It's kind of like that. And each line represents a different frequency, maybe with 0.1 hundredths of a difference of a degree in hertz. And when the intention goes out, it starts all the atoms shake, rattle, and rolling, so to speak. And they start knocking together and bumping into one another and starting resonance frequencies and starts getting sticky because they sit on a field of black matter, which is sticky in itself. And so it starts forming mass based on whatever information was encoded with the intention that went out, because we know that information is encoded within frequencies. So when we think thoughts, it starts atoms, you know, knocking and bumping into one another, and they start shaking at a certain rate, kind of like musical notes. And it makes them stick together because each note may be affiliated with a specific kind of intention. And that's how we create mass. And I think that it probably takes about 10 years to create mass for the average person. If you think about it, you know, when you were 16 years old, you said, when I get older, I'm going to have a car just like that. And so you do. It doesn't matter how you got that car. It matters that that's exactly what you said you were going to have, so you have it. You managed to manifest it. So I think that people must be really, really careful about what it is that they think, because they're thinking and they're placing out an intention, and it starts things knocking and bumping around, and it starts creating mass with entanglement. But they also forget, you know, The Secret, the movie The Secret, forgets to factor in the fact that we don't have complete free will. So some things are going to happen regardless, and we just have to learn how it is we deal with those things that manifest on a mass consciousness level.
Let me ask you a few questions on all the wonderful material you've already given us. It's just...
Does that make any sense, what I said?
It makes a lot of sense. The first thing is, when you talked about the sound of silence, I was very intrigued because there may have been sticky material, but there was a nothing, an emptiness. So I found that interesting. And the other thing that I'd like to talk about, if you're up to it, is The Secret, because it's getting tremendous press and it's a beautifully commercial product. And I think it's important from my point of view that people are talking about the power of belief and attraction of what you wish. And I often think about the statement, be careful what you wish for.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your take on The Secret, and how do you feel about what they're presenting?
Well, I think you've probably read Power versus Force by David Hawkins,
mm-hmm.
first of all, you know, about the gradients of consciousness.
Right.
You know, everybody has a different level of consciousness, and I think that the people that wrote that or produce it has done a good job and started the people that have made the people start thinking about something. But they leave out something. They leave out that we do not have complete free will. I mean, if we had complete free will, then Ernest would have been on my show tonight like he was supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could say, I'll meet you at Starbucks at exactly 3 o'clock, and you'll be there at 3 o'clock. You won't be there 10 minutes early and have to wait on me. Or you won't be 10 minutes late and make me wait on you. Or you won't forget, or you won't get lost, or you won't get into an accident, or you won't get on a phone call that makes you drag out, you know. So when people think that they can sit around, I've had so many people call me and say, look, I've been doing everything the secret tells me to do, and it's not happening. They forget that there is a source of energy somewhere that we don't have control over, and it produces things that happen in our lives. So when they think that they can control everything with just thought, and those things don't happen, then they give up hope and think that they can't do anything. Well, Dean Radin told me a story about that one time. He said, I said, you know, how do we make things manifest in our lives? And he said,
he said,
just imagine that you have a pond and you want to get all the water out of the pond. And this is based on quantum entanglement. You want to get all the water out of the pond. And so you have 100 people and they all stand around a circle around this pond and they all have a pebble that's the same size. Well, if everybody throws in the pebble, if they throw it in at exactly the same time, with exactly the same amount of force, which would be the intention, you know, the force equivalent mm-hmm. to intention, then all the water's going to come out. But if they don't, if they all throw it in at, you know, start moving their arms at the same time, but it's not exactly down to the millisecond the same, mm-hmm. all you're going to get is a bunch of chaos on top of that water. And that's what happens when you have thought that's not cohesive. It gets, imagine on all those vertical and horizontal energy lines that I was talking about,
mm-hmm.
arrows of information shooting every single person every time they think a thought, an arrow goes out. Well, those arrows are going to cancel each other out. So that's like every thought that goes out is going to cancel each other out. And that's why sometimes that mass prayer doesn't always work, because people are praying at a little bit different time. They're praying a little bit different prayer, and they're playing it with a little bit different intensity. So it doesn't work like it would as if everybody prayed the exact same prayer at the exact same time with the exact amount of focus as everybody else doing it. Does that make sense?
Most of us will be, if asked, will tell you that they're really for world peace, that's their hope, and that humankind can live together without war. How can we use our intention to create a more peaceful humanity and environment in such a way? Is that synchronizing at exactly the same time with exactly the same image of peace? Are we more likely to realize it then, as you've just explained to us?
Well, the first answer is an easy answer. If every single person, let's say in 5 minutes, at exactly the stroke of 15 minutes after 10, if every single person in the world practiced pure agape, in other words, unconditional love for their fellow mankind the way they would love themselves, we would have instant peace. In an instant, we would have complete world peace in an instant. If everybody treated everybody like they wish they would be treated, but they won't. And the reason that the long answer, the reason is everybody has judgment about what is right and wrong. You know, everybody has judgment about why we should have a war, or whether we should participate in that war, or how somebody on the other side of the world should be living with technology because we have technology and they don't have technology. Well, they may not want technology, and we're forcing it down their throat, so they get angry about it, and they have car bombs because we're not allowing them to live their lives the way they want to do it. We're forcing what we want them to have down their throats, which is the same thing that we do to our neighbors and, you know, our spouses and our children. So the only thing that I can say is practice agape. I don't know what else to say about that.
Yeah, you cannot dictate peace and you cannot dictate democracy. It's just not going to happen that way. But I like what you're talking about, how you're talking about intention. So can you give us a little bit of evidence of its existence, of intention?
Well, I can tell you this. I can tell you some scientific information, and I can tell you some things that happened in my life. I've had a pretty chaotic life. You know, people that know me know that my son was kidnapped at one time. They know that my husband has left and taken everything that we had. They know that, you know, I've been through hard times in my life. I've been through three different very dark nights of the soul where my nose would be put on the pavement and I was either going to have to die or get up. There wasn't any in between. It was the yin and the yang of physical reality, literally, in my life. The first two times that I had a dark night of the soul, I got angry about it. I wanted to get even for somebody that hurt me. I was bitter, and it was all somebody else's fault pretty much because I kind of felt like, you know, I tried to be a good person or whatever it is. Well, the dark night of the soul continued for months and months and months, and I got worse and worse and worse down into this dark night of this dark hole where I couldn't even see out. Well, the last time that it happened to me, because one thing that people need to understand, we are electromagnetic beings. And when we send out a thought or an intention, an electrical charge with magnetism is sent out. And it to the opposite pole. So either a positive charge is sent out or a negative charge is sent out. And when the charge is sent out, we know that it's sent out by atoms oscillating, that when an atom oscillates, it transmits. In other words, it sends out a signal. But it also receives a signal, just like a revolving door. When you go into a building, the door spins and the air goes in and out, in and out. Well, that's exactly what happens when you think a thought. Electricity is going out, and electromagnetism is going out, and electromagnetism is coming in. So the longer I thought about those things, and the longer that I oscillated maybe an electron or a smaller particle of an electron, a quark or a gluon, whatever it is, I don't know, I don't think anybody knows right now, then I was transmitting and receiving negative energy. So I was ensuring that the next 2 or 3 months in my life that was manifesting into the future was going to be bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, because it can't help, because if it goes out and it comes back in, then it's absolutely going to be because of duality, the yin and the yang. So whatever degree that I have bliss, I'm also guaranteeing myself to have that same amount of misery. So if I just flip my thoughts, then something happened. So the last time that I went into a dark night of the soul, I just went, it's back in November, actually. I didn't actually go into the dark night of the soul, but it presented. My husband left us and took everything that we had and went to another country. But so this time, instead of getting angry and destitute and frightened and scared, my kids and I sat down in the kitchen and I went, okay, it happened. What can we do? Nothing. You know, okay, it happened. Let's just go on. So we didn't even allow ourselves to think about it. Whenever I started worrying about it, I would sit down and do a meditation and bring in this thing that I call a black box into my mind, where I don't allow any thoughts or colors or pictures or words or symbols or letters in this black box. You know, it's right here in front of your eyes, so to speak, in your mind. And within 3 months, my entire life had changed. I had no income because I was a housewife. But money just poured in. I mean, it just came from somewhere. I would go to my mailbox and there would be a $500 check. I'd go to my mailbox and another day there'd be a $1,000 check or a $100 check or this would happen or that would happen. It just came and I did nothing for it.
Well, just because I would say you probably did do something. You used your intention in a positive, healing, and growth-promoting way. You didn't descend into the dark night of the soul. And so I think you are showing the law of attraction in your life. And so good for you, because you reap the benefits by not collapsing into negativity.
I think at first, you know, I think that somebody that's of higher consciousness, and I don't mean that in a good way or a bad way, but because I think it's a frequency. It's just like an age. It is what it is. Manifests a lot quicker than somebody that doesn't. So I think we manifest maybe 3 to 6 months in advance ahead. So I had to work my way. I stopped thought. I didn't actually intend anything, but I got control of the negative thoughts by stopping thought so that only peace came. And then after I got through that period of time, then I started placing out intention of what I really did want. I envisioned myself in a particular kind of job, or I envisioned just the money coming in, and it happened. I mean, I don't know what else to say except it happened.
But I was going to ask you how one survives emotional trauma, and I think you just answered that beautifully.
You stay in the moment.
Yeah.
That's all I know to say.
And what you also are teaching us is to how to create a life of bliss and abundance in the midst of chaos.
Well, Elmer Green, you know Elmer. Elmer started iSeem about 40 years ago. And one day I called, about 6 months ago or so, I called Elmer, maybe longer than that, and I said, Elmer, if I consciously try to practice agape, and I constantly try to stay in the moment and not focus on anything negative, why do I have shit in my life? And Elmer said, Eva, are you forgetting that you live in duality? So to whatever degree you experience bliss in one moment because of polarization and electromagnetic fields, you are guaranteed to be presented with the opposite at some time in the near future. So if you told me you didn't have any shit in your life, you would tell me that I would know that you weren't on an accelerated spiritual path. The only difference is when the shit appears, you observe it. You literally step outside of your body about 3 feet and watch your body interact as if it's a movie. Because that way it doesn't hurt and you don't have to have the pain.
And that's similar to meditative techniques. And Ken Wilber's research is showing that one way we can evolve to a deeper or higher level, not an elitism, but it's possible for most of us, is to learn how to stop going into the negative, stop the thought, intending more of the positive, but as you said, knowing that we are going to get some of this coming into our life and we don't have to collapse in it. And
that's
on the other hand, he's showing that if people have a daily spiritual practice of 4 or more years, no guarantee, but if they continue with it, most people can grow 1 or 2 levels higher.
That's exactly right. And to whatever degree you place that energy out, it's like a swing. Imagine a swing in a big oak tree. And you can swing really high because the ropes are long. To whatever degree you go backwards, you can't help it. You have to go that same degree forward. And that because of the energy, the push, the polarization, and that's exactly the way thought is. You know?
And you know, I think you're telling us something that's really simple if you get it, and that is we have a choice. We have free will. We can make the best or the worst of any situation that we are challenged with in our life. And what I'm hearing, you make the best of it to your own benefit.
That's right. Well, we have free will. I like to make this clear. We have free will to place intention, you know, but we don't have free will to there's certain things that are going to happen regardless whether we like it. We can't help it if that car pulls out in front of us and we crash. But what we can do is step out of the body and observe the bad part so we don't have to feel it. Because when we feel it, one of the things I like to tell people is anytime you experience a negative emotion, if you'll go down to your gut, right by your navel, just about an inch above your navel, you'll feel this thing, kind of a heightened sense of awareness that feels somewhat like it does when a policeman comes up behind you and turns on the blue light. You know that funny, sick feeling that you get?
Yes.
And what that is science now knows that your abdomen and each one of your organs are lined with neurons. And they haven't always known this. This is just in the past couple of years. And when those neurons fire in your abdomen, when the energy comes in, it causes you to have that funny, sick feeling. So then, HeartMath has done a lot of work on this.
Yes.
Then it sends an impulse to the brain about 8 milliseconds later. And then the brain releases neurotransmitters in response to whatever that encoded message is. You know, it's like energy going through an electrical wire, except it goes in surges. And if it goes rat-a-tat-tat or rat-a-tat-tat, however the surge, like the Morse code goes, the brain's going to interpret that and release a specific neurotransmitter. We also know that each specific neurotransmitter is affiliated with a particular organ or system in your body. So if you have a repeated sequence of that particular neurotransmitter firing all the time, you're going to have a particular disease that's associated with that. For example, love and hate. If you I just hate that person. I can't stand him. He hurt me so bad. Well, every time you do that, then your body is going to release cortisol and antigens. Those are the two known main causes of plaque in the arteries. So if you don't do that and rather let take a deep breath and just let that feeling pass all the way through your body rather than holding so that you get that funny sick feeling in your stomach, you won't fire those neurotransmitters and you won't get sick.
Well, that's great. And you're giving us lots and lots of clues as to how to move from chaos to bliss. There's another one. I think that is evidence from science of how we can't always consciously change everything, such as a car accident or if you see a bus coming at you, because Dr. Brian Josephson in the UK, I believe that's his name, he's a physicist. He has shown...
Didn't he win a Nobel Prize?
Yes, he did. And he may even be Sir Brian Josephson right now, but I know it's at least Dr. And his work showed that seconds before a person seeing a car or a bus coming at them, seconds before that registers in the brain and they make the decision of, I better get out of here, or do I go down on the ground, or just stand there, whatever their decision may be, that the brain has already begun to respond to that bus coming at you before you consciously register it.
That's amazing.
So that's an example of how things happen to you, and the decision of the body to move has already been made on some other level than we recognize consciously.
That's amazing. Well, you know, I was talking about the thought a few minutes ago, how it transmits and receives. Bill Tiller, and the world doesn't really know this yet, I don't think, because he hadn't made a lot of noise about it. But he's discovered something that the world thinks doesn't exist called magnetic monopoles.
Uh-huh.
And I'm convinced, and what he means by that is each end of, I don't even know what it is, but when the information jumps from synaptic gate to synaptic gate, it's going to have a negative or positive charge on either end. Mm-hmm. And that proves that when you think a thought, that it goes and comes at the same time. So if you're thinking it, I mean, Bill has proven that it goes and comes right back into you at the same time, and that's why what goes around comes around. And
that's
one of the experiments that he did with this is he took two jars of water, just regular water, from the same source. Now, Bill's on the West Coast, and he sent these two jars to the East Coast to a lab over there. And he has an intention machine where he got somebody like a yogi or somebody that's really evolved consciously that can really get into an altered state of mind to place a thought into this intention machine that water in those two jars, in one of them, would increase one entire pH point.
Uh-huh.
And that's exactly what happened. When they plugged in this machine in the room on the East Coast, the water in that jar increased one whole point in pH, just with thought that came from that machine. And the way it is, it's like somebody saying a prayer 24 hours, 24/7, constantly with the same focus, the same cohesive field. And then he changed the machine, and he had somebody meditate on it, and sent that same water down one complete pH point. Now, if somebody's body changes an entire pH point, you die. That's a pretty powerful thing to do with only thought, not only to mention that it was thought carried throughout a machine. You know?
Well, you know, you're really showing, where does prayer go? I mean, it's not physical. We think it. We intend it. We pray for somebody. They may not even know that we are. And yet, where does prayer go? It's not physical. And I think that's the non-local phenomena on a different level of consciousness and awareness that goes faster than the speed of light instantly anywhere in the universe. And
yep.
I think that Bill Tiller is onto something extremely important.
Yeah, there's only one other group in the whole world that's found this. And Bill didn't even know it. I found it on the Internet the other day and sent it to him. And it's a group out of Japan. But, you know, people, no matter how much they don't want to believe it, if they don't believe it, it's just because they want to remain ignorant, because the fact has been proven absolutely through quantum mechanics and science.
Well, you know, there was a couple of studies done through the Institute of Noetic Sciences, and they did the exact same experiment, by the way, at the same time. So this shows how arrows can go in opposite directions and cancel out. And the woman who believed in the experiment, her experiment had very significant results. And the man in another lab in another city who did it at exactly the same time, as much as they could make it co-equal, if you would, that person never, ever got the response. So what you believe is a lot of what you're going to receive.
That's right.
It's a confirmation of your belief system.
A lot of Henry Stapp, you know, the work that's gone on with Robert John and Brenda Dunn at Princeton with the random event generator, you know, the thing with the ping pong balls drops down in it. Henry Stapp, a really famous physicist, he's probably going to get a Nobel Prize in the next few years. That's what Dean told me. But he doesn't believe Robert John and Brenda Dunn's work. And I know this because I had him on my show, and we've emailed back and forth about it numerous times because nobody else can reproduce it like Robert John and Brenda Dunn. But what they forget is there's gradients in consciousness, and people have to remember that if you looked out your window or if you sat in your chair and everything, single thing that you could see was like a fog or a ghost and you could see through it, it's because there's horizontal lines of energy, and there's like just like that record album I was talking to you about earlier. They're that close together. They're thin as a line, and they're infinite. They go across, stacked on top of each other. And there are vertical lines of energy, just like basket weave. So immediately when an electrical charge goes out by thinking a thought, you know, it hits that, and it's like water, a lightning bolt striking some water. It goes over the whole surface of the water instantaneously, as fast as you can blink your eye. But to make that happen, they had to get people that was vibrated at a much higher frequency. And I'm going to use fictitious numbers here. Let's just say that somebody of not quite as high of consciousness, their frequency might vibrate around, say, 600,000 hertz. I don't know. I'm just using some fictitious numbers. But say somebody that could get into an altered state of mind, they vibrated at like 1,000,000 hertz. So they're much more powerful, and they can do much more work with that intended thought because they're at a much higher frequency, and the frequency encompasses a much larger domain. So if you don't have somebody of the same level of conscious awareness, they're not going to be able to achieve the goals that somebody else at a higher level of conscious awareness. That's why some of the studies that they've done with mass prayer don't work, or they can't document them, because they don't use people that can get into an altered state of mind. Does that make any sense?
Are those the grids and the ley lines that people talk about throughout time that circle the globe, the ones you're talking about?
It's the hologram. We live in a hologram. We're not really here, you know, because as far down as we can look, and people laugh at me when I say that, but if you've got a microscope, just a regular microscope, like you have in high school, as far down as you can look on that microscope, you won't find any mass. You'll find particles and cells. And if you get an electron microscope and look at those same particles and cells, it'll go down even further, and you'll start to see, you know, mitochondria and DNA and things like that. As far down as you go, you will never, ever find any mass. Ever. So we don't really exist. We are pure thought forms. It's just we live in a hologram. And in order for that hologram to hold tight, we use electromagnetism to make it hold together, which is thought-provoked.
But you're also implying, you're also implying that we may all live in different worlds, because as we look at the world from different levels, heights, depths, whatever, understanding, we're really creating different worlds for each other, not just different economic worlds or things like that. We're creating something different.
Well, that's a really important point. We know that the slower something vibrates, the more dense it is. We've also proven, Bruce Lipton and some other people have proven that you can literally change the structure of your DNA. Let's say you have an alcoholism that's genetic. If you can get into a cohesive enough field through meditation, you can actually change the structure of that DNA, so that alcoholism or that cancer or whatever it is that you have, autism, whatever it is, you can change the structure of the DNA and that problem will go away. Now, of course, the average person can't do this because they don't get in a cohesive enough field. And for anybody that wants to know what I'm talking about when I say a cohesive field, check out HeartMath Research Institute work and that'll explain it to you. But that proves that whatever we do is done by thought. And we also know that the higher something vibrates, the less dense it is, the difference between a piece of wood and a piece of silk. Well, there's much higher frequencies than that piece of silk. So there are things that exist that are vibrating at different frequencies that we can't see, that's sitting in the same room that we are. But it doesn't mean that they're not real. We just can't see them. But if you get certain kind of cameras, and I know that a friend of mine, Peter Moscow, he has a friend, I can't think of this guy's name, but his grandfather, or his uncle, I think it was the one that developed the original television. I think it's okay. Faraday or something like that. Well, this nephew has that same passionate desire about frequencies and radio transmission, and he's developed a machine that has some kind of special antenna through a wire, and he can make the wire as long or as short as he wants it to be, but he could take it around a campus or a house or a person. And when he hooks that wire up to this television, you can actually see things that are there that you can't see with a naked eye.
And I think people have done that with telephone calls, that they've been able to hear voices that most of us are not attuned to, but if you record them, you can hear those frequencies.
Yeah, if you use a digital recorder, if you kept a recorder on all the time at night when everything's really silent, mm-hmm. You know, you don't have any control over what's coming in, but occasionally you will hear conversations going on and there's no one in the room with you. You know, who is
that's
it?
Right.
Somebody's there.
Well,
you
that's
know, who is
spooky
it?
As well as, you know, exciting.
People, Daniel Brinkley told me one day that if you have loved ones that are still alive that you would like to talk to when they pass, to record them on a digital recorder, because the technology exists already, but it just exists on the government level, that you can literally dial into that frequency and, so to speak, talk to that loved one on the phone.
Well, I'm going to try that. Did you know that my twin sister, who has passed on, has cured herself while she was alive of three different brain cancers over a 14-year period? She had
really?
No extension. She had all the radiation they could give her with the first one. And part of it was her intention and her belief that she could do it. Her lack of accepting, like you said, thought stopping. She wasn't going to go into illness and stuff. And she survived for 14 years by doing this.
Yeah, people need to understand that everything they do is thought-based. That's why, and also touching, because if you touch somebody and you have an intention that that's a loving touch, it changes their electromagnetic field. It changes their skin temperature. It changes the dilation of their pupils. It changes their heart rate. It changes their breathing patterns. So that's why it's so important to stop communicating with your children via the internet. Take that minute in the morning to put your arms around your kid, because it does something to them.
I agree with you. You know, what was it in the New Testament? It starts with, first there was the Word, or in the beginning there was the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And that's thought.
You know, everybody, a lot of people that get of higher consciousness, and I wanted to talk about this, get a noise in their ears. Do you ever hear a high-pitched frequency in your ears?
Yes.
Well, that frequency, if you think about it, even silence is a frequency, because it's measurable. And the higher you evolve your consciousness through lack of thought and sitting in silence and meditating, the more attuned you can be to higher frequencies. And silence is probably the highest frequency, because there's nothing there. So when people that get that sound in their head, when they think a thought, they're placing that thought on the sound that the original intention was placed. For example, if you've ever gone out into the woods where there's no sound and it's just so silent that it's screaming, that's the sound that I'm talking about. So if you get that sound in your head, you have to be, a lot of people think it's tinnitus, but tinnitus is a much tinnier sound. It's mm-hmm. not just this really high-pitched frequency. You can manifest things very quickly, and you have to be very careful what it is you think. I tell another story that, you know, consciousness knows not what I don't want is. So if you don't like black horses and you say, I don't like black horses and I don't want a black horse, consciousness knows not what I don't want. It just knows black horse. So
right.
The more time you spend about you don't want a black horse, then you're going to end up with a black horse that you don't want. And it may come in the form of a big car with a lot of horsepower that's black that runs into your car. But you've manifested that thing because consciousness knows not what I don't want is.
Well, you know, I think all of this is extremely interesting. And again, we started with the sound of silence.
That's
right.
And
we talked about how the higher your frequency as you evolve up the developmental ladder and your awareness grows, you can actually hear and see, even in where they talk about formlessness, you can still
mm-hmm.
have sense and awareness. And I've also wondered, and I'd like your take on this, our society, our world, and the Western developed nations are very, very busy. We work far too many hours. We're not quiet. We're very stimulated, whether it's TV or computer or our jobs. And I wonder if there isn't something there that keeps us from going inside where we need to slow down and in a way stop this world so that we can begin to visit the other levels of awareness and learn, tune in, and learn to manifest with greater integrity and ability. And yet we're never taught to go inside until many of us discover it either by accident or trauma or we just happen to evolve there. But it really seems to me that our culture needs to start teaching people to turn within and the blessings and the gifts that are there.
Oh, gosh, I do too. And that's my problem with organized religion. You know, they teach fear-based fear-based beliefs into your life. When really you know on the inside what is right or wrong. I mean, you know, why would you think that someone who has lived a perfect life would go and burn in eternal hell just because they didn't believe in the Jesus figure that they had never heard of because they lived in a remote section of the world?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you go around and you teach your children. You have to make everybody else in the world be like you. And then you make that person feel rejected or you make that person feel forced upon. You know, I guess it goes back to what, you know, we were talking about with David Hawkins' book. Consciousness is a frequency and hertz.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell my children, you know, go to school and do what your teacher says to do because the teacher says to do it. But do those things that feel right inside. So when you come across a person, for instance, this radio show, and we give you information to better your life that obviously can't cause you any harm, that will produce only good results if you just try it. Listen to it, even if you don't believe it, because the organized religion has taught you not to believe it. Just try it, because if you'll do this thing for 6 months, practicing positive thought, practicing placing focused intention, something will happen in your life and it will change your life beyond anything that you've ever known. And I know that because it's happened to me.
And we listen to that still, and there's the silence, that still small voice inside.
That's
but
right.
We
people
have to be still to hear it.
People say, I don't understand what you mean. What? Listen to what? Well, the way it comes in, you know how when you get an idea, like tonight when I got the idea to call you, oh, my God, call Joyce. She'll help you out on the show. Well, I heard it in my head, call Joyce. She'll help you out. you know, I heard it, but it was a silent voice. It was an idea. Mm-hmm. Well, that's exactly how consciousness talks to you. You just got to learn how to discern the racing thoughts from the information. And one way you do that, or consciousness is an erasing thought. Consciousness is that thing that drops down like a cartoon picture, you know, where you get the whole idea in one little circle. The whole idea will drop in at one time. That's consciousness. The ego of the human being will come in racing thoughts. A thought that you get here, and then you'll follow it out thinking that the next thought and the next thought and the next thought. So that's how you tell the difference between the two, whether it's God talking to you or whether it's mind thinking about something. And if you learn, if you practice this, like you have homework at school, you practice it every day, you can get to the point where you can place out a question, and before you know it, the entire answer will just plop down into mind, and you'll know that that's God talking.
And you'll feel it as well.
Yeah, yeah. It'll come all at one time.
That's just great. And I, you know, people say to me, well, I don't have time to meditate every day. Or, well, you know, if you really start making your priorities and focus on what you really want in your life, how can you not have time for the path that you want to choose and follow? This is how you do it. You're telling us step by step how to create that path with your intention and your free will, how to listen for the feedback, and how to continue and know not to collapse when negative happens, because we live in a world of duality, and take it as a lesson. It's been terrific.
That's right. I had a funny thing happen to me at work a couple of months ago. You know, I'd been going through all of this stuff, and I was doing great in mind, because, you know, the goal of the soul is to not think, but rather observe. So I've been doing a real good job at that. And I thought one day at work, you know, I haven't talked to my friend Clark in a long time. It's been like 2 years. And so I called him up. And it was 8 o'clock in the morning. And while the phone was ringing, I, for whatever stupid reason, I thought, how come I can't be a millionaire and not have to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning and go to work? And I thought, I caught myself and I was thinking, I thought, that's a stupid thought. And all of a sudden, this feeling just rushed down my body quickly. That was like a feeling of depression. And it was in an instant. The whole thing came in an instant. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't let this grab me all of a sudden. So about that time, he picked up the phone, and I started talking to him. I said, how are you doing? He said, oh, my God. He goes, my business has been failing, and I've been having to work 60 hours a week. And it made me laugh, because there I was feeling sorry, because I thought, you know, that he was sleeping all the time and not having to work hard. But as soon as I caught myself thinking that thought, and I forced it out, and I hung up the phone and got focused on my work and would not allow myself to think that thought. Within 15 minutes, that wave of depression was gone, and I didn't have it again.
Well, you know, Peter Mosco is a friend of mine as well.
Oh, really?
And the two of us have created and teach something called the Money Clinic. And there are people who make lots of money but can't hold on to it.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who can't seem to make money. And what we try to show is how your beliefs, your intentions, how you react to positive and negative duality, how that either brings the law of abundance to you or you close the door. And that's exactly what you're describing.
Well, what kind of success rate have you had with that?
Good,
except
I have to say the numbers have not been that large, but because we do it on a small, like, 10-20 people, so that we can really focus on each person's patterns and beliefs. And that's part of what you were talking about. I do all this meditation, I do all this stuff, but if you have these beliefs that are keeping you from what your goals and your desires are, in a good way, because a lot of meditation teaches you to give up your desires rather than learn ways to, in appropriate ways with integrity, bring them to you. But again, with the proviso, be careful what you wish for. And so we try to get people who want this to go through their patterns, their beliefs, and to change them. Many people don't even realize what their beliefs are about energy and money and having abundance. And if I look out at nature, one of the things I see is the love of diversity in nature. We don't have to all be the same, be it religion or jobs or nationality. And I also see how we can manifest more likely what we want in much the same way you're talking about tonight.
I want to say one more thing that's a little bit off this topic that just occurred to me.
Right.
I want to talk about alternative medicine for a minute.
Good.
I want the people in the world to know, and I don't care what it is you have, there is something in the world that is natural to cure you. Unless, of course, if it's something caused by EMF fields, which causes a lot of problems, especially with autism and children with ADD and ADHD, you know, things that are receptor issues. The receptors are things that are real sensitive. You know what receptors are, but they're real sensitive to EMF fields. There is something in the world to cure you somewhere. And if you don't know what it is and you need some help, contact me. My email address is evaherr, E-V-A-H-E-R-R, at gmail.com. Because I know something somewhere in the world that if you do what we say, you know, change your diet or change your belief systems, work on it, if you'll at least get better, if not be cured. And another thing I want to say is, you know, I never talk about myself, but I have an amazing gift that came, you know, when I had this epiphany that I had, Joyce. And I have a gift of medical intuition. If you could know that you were going to get a brain tumor or breast cancer or prostate cancer 2 years from now, wouldn't you want to know it? You know,
well,
wouldn't you want
I
to know?
Would, because I think then I can do something and change my lifestyle, change my attitudes and beliefs, and I'm not accepted.
Absolutely. You know, I'm not the only one that can do this. There are other people, too. I just don't know who they are. Caroline Mace, for one. But,
yeah,
you know, call me. Do some preventive maintenance for yourself and protect your health. You know, if I can tell you, if I can give you symptoms that you're having right now that you don't realize that are symptoms of disease, and I can tell you emotions that you're having that's causing it, don't you want to know if you can, if there's something out there that absolutely will heal you? You know, take advantage of what's out there in the world as alternative medicine. And I hate to say the word psychic phenomena, but I don't know what else to call it. You know, use it. Use it.
Well,
you know, call somebody like me and get some insight into the future about what's going on with your health. And if you want to call me, I'll help you. My number is 404-513-2895 because it's about preventive maintenance on your body. If you can do certain little things, change your diet, take some supplements, you know, forgiveness for God's sake, you can prevent traumatic illness in your life.
Well, I hope people do call you. Yeah, I hope people call you.
I have to say that.
Well, I think it's important, and I think even the word alternative says we have other ways to deal with this, and I think a lot of our medicine is very fear-based as well. And we get a diagnosis and we're told whether we're going to live or die. And alternative medicine is more in living. It's more engaged with the individual. They spend time with you. There's a lot of things going on there that's very important besides just the diagnosis. And people begin to strive to live again. So I think alternative is important in the sense it's giving you options.
Well, it is. And two, pharmaceuticals treat the symptoms. You know, if you have heart disease and they give you Lipitor and all these other statins and things, you know, they're going to, first of all, make you go to the bathroom if you have, you know, high blood pressure or something. You're going to pee out all your pee so that you don't have high blood pressure. What they forget to tell you is when you pee out all that pee, you're not going to have any more potassium. You're not going to have any more magnesium. And you're going to start having funny heart palpitations. And you're going to start having autonomic nervous system problems where you feel like you have to go like that to get a good breath.
Right.
All that, are you going to have restless leg syndrome? You know, you're like, can't get your legs comfortable at night. And you then you start having sleeping problems, you know. All that is potassium, but the doctors forget to tell you that, you know.
That's right.
And supplements are considered alternative medicine, so it's not something to fear. But you got to take the initiative to go out and seek that help because it's there. And, you know, you don't have a shortage of Lipitor in your body. I'm sorry. But you may have a shortage of, do what?
Give people your phone number again so they know how to reach you for all of this and preventive medicine.
Oh, my number is 404-513-2895. If you need help with, you know, emotional support or learning to stay in the moment or help placing intention, I tell people another thing. Be careful what you pray. I just want to be happy. I just want enough money. You know, you get what you ask for when you say a prayer, so you'll get exactly that thing, the desire of want for that thing. Be careful what you pray for. People, I've been at church and heard people say prayers, you know, for 30 minutes. Well, that's sending out, you know, all those arrows all over the place, you know, in quantum entanglement. You're spreading out your intention all over the place. A short, focused, directed prayer does more than 5 hours of praying prayer all over the place.
And non-local, it goes instantly.
That's right. It goes instantly. It matters to be focused. And when I say focus, how centered are you when you're praying? What are the racing thoughts that are going through your mind when you're doing it? Because if you're praying and you have racing thoughts, then you're praying racing thoughts. Does that make sense?
Right. So it really does behoove all of us to pay attention to the body as well as the mind and to begin to slow down and listen to the silence, as you talk about, to raise our level of consciousness, which most of us are capable of doing no matter where we begin, and reap the benefits. And I think from that we will have a more peaceful, healthy world. I believe it's possible.
I do too. You know, a lot of people don't realize, unless they've experienced some kind of epiphany shift, that mm-hmm. there are gradients in consciousness. There are things out there that you don't know, people. You don't know that you don't know them. So, and the only way you're going to find them is by being quiet or going through misery, because going through misery makes you grow. So if you don't want to have to go through misery to grow, find a spiritual teacher that has no agenda. They don't want to sign you up for something. They don't want to take your money except maybe a small fee for their time and services, because they have to survive too. But find somebody without an agenda that teaches you things that you find within, not something that's in their books or something that's in their Bible or something that's on a tape, but something that comes from within yourself, because you can't fool your own self. I hope that makes some sense.
It does. It says somebody who doesn't have ego and is more interested in them, but is interested instead in you and how far they can help you grow. And you will feel inside if it's correct or not.
That's right. I'd also like to tell people to be sure that you go to, there's a good site called citizens.org. It tells you all the current legislation that's going on about Codex. If you don't know what Codex is, you need to find out, and it's spelled C-O-D-E-X. There's things going on within governments around the world that are taking away our rights to buy supplements.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, you'll still be able to buy them, but you'll only be able to buy them in small quantities. To get a larger quantity of, say, vitamin C, you'll have to go to the doctor and get a prescription, and it'll cost you like $200. Please educate yourself about this, people, because you don't have very much time to take care of it. What is it?
There's another one. The FDA is trying with the medical field to say that the only people who can prescribe or allow you to buy supplements is... In the medical field, you have to have a license to practice medicine by making this medical.
Oh, that's kind of scary.
Get rid of it's just going on around right now. We're learning about it, and that's really scary, because that's a way to knock out all the competition of people who really have the ability to tell you what you need and know how much you need for whatever the condition is. And at the same time, they're trying to say, well, you can't do it because you're not practicing medicine. So this is something to be concerned about.
That's really scary, since the majority of Western medicine doctors have no idea what various supplements are, much less what they do.
That's
really
right.
Scary. I mean, you know, CoQ10 can actually reverse congestive heart failure. How many
right.
doctors do you know that put their patients on CoQ10 when they have congestive heart failure? Hardly any. It's a really frightening thing. Another thing that people ought to know about, we've only got a couple of minutes left, is pulse electromagnetic frequency machines. You have no idea the value of those things. Of course, they're illegal, but I know where you can get them if you want them, so you can always ask me.
Okay.
But I had a skin cancer on my arm that had a tumor underneath it about the size of a marble, and I have this little thing called a blood zapper, and it's got a wire that comes out, and it's got two pad electrodes on the end of either wire. It cost me $200. Well, I put those pads on top of this little skin cancer, and I'd run it for like an hour while I was lying in bed watching TV at night.
Mm-hmm.
In 4 days, that skin cancer melted and is completely gone. Now, if I'd have gone to the doctor with this skin cancer, it was one of those kind that are flaky, you know, that only gets worse. If I'd have gone to the doctor, he would have cut out a big hole in my skin, probably about the size of a big marshmallow, to make sure he got the entire cancer. I don't have any scar now. It just melted and went away. And when my kids get strep throat, which they used to get really badly, and we'd have to do 2 or 3 rounds of antibiotics,
mm-hmm.
I just put this little blood zapper pads on each side of the neck, and by the next morning it's gone. I mean, it's amazing.
People need to know about it, because if you use too much antibiotic, the resistance to these drugs grow with the different infections, and then they're not useful to us anymore. So
that's right,
really
not to mention the candida that you get from it, and
that's
the yeast
right.
infections, and the deteriorating gums from it. Another thing that I interviewed somebody the other day that told me about something called 714X that's available in Canada, but you can get it through the mail for yourself. You can't get it for anybody else. To do a whole round of 714X, which cured his cancer and has cured brain tumors and lung tumors and kidney tumors, all kind of tumors and different kind of people.
Sounds good. What about diabetes?
Guess how much it is. Well, diabetes is, I believe, is a diet thing, but it was $330 for the entire session.
Wow.
And it cured it. He had Hodgkin's disease, and it cured him.
Great.
And his parents had tried to make him, he was a kid, and his parents had tried to make him take chemotherapy and radiation, and all of his heart, I mean, all of his hair fell out. He just refused to do that and said, I'd rather die than do that anymore. So his parents gave in and went and found, looked all over the world for whatever remedies were available, and they found this 714X, and it cured him.
That's great.
Cured
people
him.
Need to know they have options, and they have choices, and the better informed they are, the more choices they really
That's
have.
That's right. And I don't care what you have. I can't guarantee you anything, and I'm not a doctor, but I pretty much know somebody or something in the world that can cure you if you put forth the effort to implement it. So if you have any questions or I can help you, direct you somewhere, feel free to contact me. And Joyce, we're about out of time tonight, and I can't thank you enough for helping me out here, honey.
And it's been a privilege for me to learn more about you, because you're always learning so much about us. It's been great. Thank you.
Thanks, honey. And agape to you.
Same to you.
Good night.
Bye-bye.